Africa did church planting in Kenya and in Tanzania. And then also now I try to help all over the continent as the field director. And now your children in junior church and grandchildren, they're all going to hear about Africa today. And the person that's in charge of all that has already told me she knows how many countries are on the continent of Africa. So all your children and grandchildren are going to know by the end of today, so you better know too. Anyone have a guess?
45.
Higher. Good try. Good? All right. 54. There are 54 nations in Africa, and there's also 8 territories that they're still fighting over. And so there's 62 places that we can be able to put missionaries in. And yes, there's all opportunities to get missionaries in each country. Although some are strongly Islamic, some would be, we would consider them a creative access country. They can't necessarily go in as a fundamental Baptist church planting missionary. But there's all ways to be able to get missionaries in and get the gospel to them. Amen. We need to make sure that we have a love and a desire for all over the world. And I want to be able to put on your heart a little bit while I'm here today, the continent of Africa. And I want to be able to also be a help to you. And if any questions that you may have, any questions regarding missions, any questions regarding Africa in general, any questions regarding mission boards and missionary support and stuff like that, I want you to feel free. You can be able to ask me or anything like that after the services or even after the fellowship, during the fellowship tonight. I want to be able to be a resource for you, to be able to help you understand anything. And there's something, and there's a lot of questions I don't know the answer to, and I'll refer you to the pastor on those. Okay, so you are the one, so you're going to be the one. So this morning, as you already know, Brother Barnhouse, you know I need a whole lot of prayer. Isn't he a great guy? Don't you love his family? I tell you what. He has, I've been able to be there in Zambia where he has spent some great deal of love and all the things that have worked there. Zambia is a great harvest field, and he's done a fantastic job there, continuing to do. Also, he's helped with the ministry down in South Africa, down at the tip there they're on the Cape, and done another great help. And I hope that you're able to continue to be praying for him and supporting him and encouraging him also as he continues to help there. And, of course, all your other missionaries, I don't know all of them, but we want to make sure that you are in prayer over and every one. This morning, what I would like to do is just kind of give you a little bit, and I like to try to educate a little bit on missions and specifically with Africa. I like for you to understand somewhat a little bit of what's it like to be a missionary in Africa? And to be able to understand a little bit of what your missionaries go through when they go to the continent. Just for, it's because we're in Sunday school and we need to open up with a Bible verse, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read a very familiar passage, but I think it's a good one to be able to start from. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I'm just going to start. It's a familiar passage. We love Romans chapter 10 because it has so much with salvation, with how each and every person was probably referred to the book of Romans in chapter 10 when someone was leading you to Christ. We love that chapter, and especially verse number 13, which condenses so much of salvation. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," what? Shall be saved. Amen. That's wonderful. Verse 14 also, good mission verse then. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that's what missions is all about. That's what mission conferences is about. That's what Mission Emphasis Sunday is all about. We want to make sure we focus on the missionary, focus on the fact that the preacher needs to be sent out. And we need, it's all part to help him to be sent. But here's the thing. What happens if that missionary is not prepared to be sent? That's where the sending church, and that's where the mission board has to come in. We want to be able to help and educate, because I tell you what, I have 114 missionaries in Africa. I need everyone, and we need double. We are in 23 countries on the continent there. Praise the Lord. But I can give you names of several countries that have nobody. Countries that are open to the gospel, they are not Islamic. They have millions of people in them, but no one's ever heard of them. It's all kinds of little countries in Africa. And unless something hits the major news, by the way, I just came from Cameroon and Equatorial Africa just a few weeks ago. Nobody knows right now, but Cameroon is in the middle of almost civil war. Have you heard that on the news? On just one day, over 2,000 people were killed. No one hears about that. Equatorial Guinea. Earlier this year, I was in Benin. Who's ever heard of Benin? One, praise the Lord. And a lot of countries like that no one's ever heard of. We want to be able to educate and be able to make sure that we help the country, help the churches to know more about Africa, and also to make sure our missionaries are well prepared so that when they do go, praise the Lord, they can be most as effective. Because your support helps them to get to the field. But it's your prayer and the educational training and backing that helps them to stay on the field. Ah, that's what we want. Some people go, but they don't last very long. We want them to go and to stay and to be as effective as we can. So, what's it like to be a missionary in Africa? Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of things that has to do about missions that, let me tell you, first of all, we have to define what missions is. Missions is exactly what we were talking about here, and how shall they call on him and whom they have not heard? We've got to make sure that missions is the propagation of the gospel. It's church planting. It's soul winning. That is missions. There's a lot of things that's done in the name of missions that has nothing to do with biblical missions. So we have to make sure that we understand, hey, missions is church planting. Missions is soul winning. Missions is helping to educate and to teach and instruct in all we can of giving out the gospel. But in doing so, you realize as soon as you arrive in Africa, you'll immediately be struck with the fact that you cannot connect with anyone because they don't talk the same language. So all of a sudden now we're faced with the most important thing is that we have to communicate the gospel in a way that will be understood. And that is where language comes in. Every time I go and I'm able to speak to a group such as this in a church, I try to encourage them to be patient with your missionaries, especially when they first go to the field. They've got to be able to learn the language. Got to be able to learn the language. So many times missionaries will get to the field, and to be honest with you, there's internal pressure to be able to produce. There's pressure from the churches that are supporting them to produce. I mean, I get regular, even as a field director, how many souls have been saved? How many churches have been planted? How many things have been, and all that's great, and that's good, and we need that information in order to encourage each congregation and to encourage the churches as they support missions. But sometimes that can build an internal pressure within the missionary, and they will run out to do ministry without being properly prepared, and especially in the area of language learning. Let me tell you, you might be able to win someone to Christ, and you can, through a translator. You can preach through a translator. But it's very difficult to pastor and teach heart to heart through a translator. That's where you've got to be able to have the language. How many of you would come to your pastor for counsel if you knew that he had to go through a translator? Not me. No, and that's why it's very, very important. Be patient with your missionaries. Language is important. And it's also one of the most difficult things your missionary will go through. Language learning. It's where an individual is reduced to a toddler. We have people that have earned doctorate degrees reduced to a toddler, learning how to say gaga and goo-goo in a foreign language. Trying, can you imagine? Even with you right now, and each one of us has an individual personal pride, don't we? We don't want to be laughed at. We don't want to be, you know, ridiculed. We want to be able to come across as somewhat semi-intelligent, don't we? When you're reduced to that, it's a very humbling experience. And some people just say, forget it. Oh, we can't. Be patient with your missionaries. There's over 3,000 languages in Africa. Well, that's a daunting task. There's over 100, though. Ah, well, that's reduced down from over 3,000 to 100 major trade languages. Or should I say trade languages. Then we will reduce it even further. Most Africans are not know one language. They're bilingual, trilingual, whatever. Most Africans will know one of 18. Whoa. From 3,000 down to 18. Oh, that helps. Those are the languages that we try to focus on. Those are major trade languages. Those are major, basically set up in regions throughout Africa that are major trade languages that they have to learn. It's usually a learned language for everybody, and as a language that everyone learns for intertribal commerce and for business and so forth. That's how they're able to communicate throughout their country. One of the languages is my language, Swahili. That's the language that I learned. That's one of the largest trade languages in the eastern and part of central of Africa. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of what Swahili sounds like, I'll quote John 3:16 for you. All right? Ready? Kwamana jinsi hi Mungu, that's God, Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu. Hata akamtoa mwanawe peke ili kila mtu amwaminie asipote bali awe na uzima wa milele. Amen? You hope so, huh? Yeah, and let me tell you, it's just as beautiful in Swahili as it is in English. Amen. And that wonderful verse that encapsulates the gospel. It's wonderful that we can be able to learn those and learn other languages and learn other verses to be able to communicate the gospel in that heart language of those individuals. So the gospel, first of all, has to be communicated in a way that can be understood. There are very variety of different languages. Some are tonal languages in Africa. How many of you have heard of a tonal language? All right. That means one word can have up to 5 different meanings just in the way the word is pronounced. For instance, hello, hello, hello. Did you catch that? Hello, hello, hello. Pitches. That would be 3 distinct different meanings to a same word. And sometimes the meanings are not even close. They're completely separate words. We had one missionary that had, it was just recently, he got up and he thought the right pronunciation was it. It ended up being almost a swear word in the country with just a slight variation in his tone. And here he is getting up, getting ready to preach, and he started preaching all that, and some of the people are going, oh, no, 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 no. It's this way. So you have to be with your missionaries. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the tonal languages. We have those throughout Africa. And when I was one of my first trips to Africa as a high schooler, I went to Togo. In the southern part of Togo, the major language there is Ewe. And we had to learn that language, and it was completely tonal. When you said hello, you said wizo, wizo, yo. That was the response. And you had to say that just like that. Even you ladies, get the bass down, yo. and because, you know, if you didn't, it would change the meaning. You have to be able to be thinking of that whenever your missionaries go to a foreign field. What is their language like? What are you going to be able to learn? How can I pray for you? A first-term missionary must be prayed for, especially in the area of language learning. You know, you have, for instance, in Swahili, Swahili is not tonal, praise the Lord. I'm deaf in one ear. So I actually had to learn sign language growing up, and so it's very difficult for me to catch tones. Thank the Lord, the Lord did not call me to that area. But Swahili, though, my challenge was you take an English dictionary, which if you get the official English dictionary, you get the full version. I mean, it's a thick book, isn't it? Anyone know what dictionaries are anymore? I mean, nobody knows. But, you know, huge dictionaries, well, the Swahili dictionary, it's not word rich. So what they do is they multi-use words. And the only way that you can determine the meaning is by the context of the conversation. For instance, one word is a very common word is Rafiki. Rafiki is a friend. That's just a common definition, is a friend. Well, it can mean a casual acquaintance. It can mean a close friend. It also can mean a fiance. Whoa. Okay, big difference there. Be careful with the context, eh? Especially when you're referring to someone as your friend. Okay, you have to be watching there. Context, it means so different. Also, you have different words that have different meanings and so forth, and I'll quickly go into some of that. I'm going to have to speed through this. I love talking about this type of thing, and I can get into a lot of it. Sometimes we have to adjust Bible verses to fit some of their language a little bit. For instance, I was preaching. Most of my time in Kenya was among the nomad tribes to the northern part of Kenya. We work mostly with nomads. They're the Turkana, the Samburu, the Maasai, the Pokot. All of our churches there are very small congregations that because of the nomadic, except the churches and the trading centers there, and because of the nomadic nature of the tribes there. But and of course, nomads are pastoralists. In other words, their entire job, their entire livelihood are their animals. Their cows, their goats, their sheep. As a matter of fact, there's not a whole lot of cash. It's all barter trade. I'll give you so much for that and so much milk for my goat to be able to have so much of that grain and help with the vegetables and so forth. It's all barter trade like that. And it's just a unique environment to be in and to be around. And so here I chose for my text there in Isaiah, and I was beginning ready to preach on salvation and how our sins are washed, and thank God that when we get saved, our sins are clean. And I use that text where, though our sins be as scarlet, they are as white as snow. I'm in the nomad part of, I'm in the semi-desert of northern Kenya. And I was surprised, there actually is a word for snow. It's the word barafu, theluji, and it's just, but they have no reference to that. What is snow? So I just the Lord had a great timing in that. I looked out the window and there was a newborn little lamb right outside the window. I said, everyone, look right outside that window. Ah, there, when Christ washes us clean, just as white and as clean as that little lamb. And of course, that went into a totally different context, a wonderful illustration of the Lamb of God. Amen. And so, hey, so that was kind of neat, but you have to, there's some words that you have to be able to put into context for them. And also, there are some things that I have to adjust doctrine sometimes because of their language. Because of their language, or we have to be careful with some words. I was preaching one morning about salvation, how salvation is free. It's a gift of God. Thank God, salvation is a gift. Amen. And it's a free gift. Well, I was getting some confused faces as I was preaching there. And, you know, I had looked everything up in the dictionary. I'd gone out of language school, and I knew everything was right. I knew this was the word. I was getting some confused looks. And finally, one of the men came to me and said, "Preacher, I think we know what you're saying. And you're using the right word. But that's just not how we use it." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, the salvation is free. Wokovuni bure. Bure is the word for free. Yes, that's right." He says, "But it's mostly used in the context of useless. Because anything that's free is useless to the individual, right? I mean, if it had any value, I'd sell it. So if something is free, if you're giving something free, it's useless to the individual." Oh, I had to change some things there because of doctrine. I said, whoa. So I had to give, in that sermon, I had to give a whole different context to that word. Oh, salvation is free, yes, but it is of great price, great value because of the price that was given. So anyhow, be praying for your missionaries. There's a lot of challenge because we've got to give the gospel in a way that will be understood. There's also, we have to be careful also to make sure that we give out the gospel in a way that will not be offensive. Ooh. Now that usually takes a lot longer part of the lesson also. Because that is now we're not talking about language. Now we're talking about culture. Ah! And boy, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of cultural differences between Joe Lunchbucket here in America and their counterpart on the African continent. No matter where you are, there's a great diversity on the African continent, but there's a whole lot of cultural differences. And we have to be careful. You may know all of the language that you need to know. You may have all the words down. But if it is presented in a way that is offensive, it will not be received. For instance, do you realize that usually the average American can offend dozens of people before they even leave the international airport? Huh. Because many times we're not aware of the cultural differences. The way you gesture sometimes can be very offensive. The way you use your hands, the way you call for someone, the way you get someone's attention, the way you hand something or receive something. There's a lot of different, the way you sit, the way you cross your legs, the way, yeah, so many different things. And to a person who is locked in to a closed culture, who does not know that there is great diversity around, and you come into that culture, and you are not sensitive to them in their closed environment, you can greatly offend. Because they are viewing everything within their context of their culture. So if you come in and you sit a certain way, or you gesture a certain way, or you even receive or hand something in a certain way, you could totally turn them off to the gospel. For instance, let me just say that I just got out of language school, and I have all the different words right. And I've got everything down, and I come to this village. I've got a track now. We've translated. It's all in the right wording, all in the proper Swahili. And now I come to a village, and Pastor, could you come up here? And now I come into a village, and one of the first people I would meet would typically be the chief. All right? He wants to know what I'm doing, what's going on, and whether or not I have access to this entire people group inside will be based completely on what my interaction is with him. You cannot just walk into anywhere and just start preaching the gospel. No. Very much on the, and very many parts of Africa, very much on the chief level, and you have to be careful with that. So you come in, and they have different greetings, different handshakes, different ways of passing things out. For instance, let me show you one handshake. This is a handshake that's widely used in West Africa. This is a handshake of friendship. Shake normally, eh? And then you slide back, and then I snap your finger and you snap mine. Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. Now, usually you need some good African sweat to kind of go along with it to get that good pop. Yeah. Now, so that helps, okay? That's a handshake of friendship. Now, that is very, very important. If you don't realize that, can you imagine, even though you know the language, because sometimes in these languages, and it was that way in the Togolese language of Ewe, they had the long greetings, and you had to know the greetings. And what they would do is they would ask you, you know, how are you? How is your family? You know, go through the different members of the family. How is your garden doing? And long ritual of greeting. And then the last thing that they would do is that they would associate the last time they met you. Okay? Once again, the social connection there. And they would say, now, didn't I see you yesterday in the market? Or didn't I see you in your field the other day? And so what they would do with me, I never met me before. So they would say, didn't I see you a long, 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 long time ago? And I asked the missionary about that. And they said, well, the reason they do that is because the word for stranger and the word for enemy is the same word. So what you need to do is you need to establish a relationship. So what you need to do is when they ask you that, say, yes, we met a long, long, blatant lie. Yes, we met a long, long, long time ago. And what that means is that I'm not an enemy. I'm a stranger, but yet I'm wanting a relationship. Can you imagine that? So, yeah, you have to be able to use the right wording in there and the right cultural connotations with the language. All right? Not only that, there are different handshakes. Handshake of friendship that you just saw. Now, with Chief Ooga Booga here, all right? Now, we got to be careful because I cannot just walk up to him and be able to give him a common handshake of friendship. That would be extremely offensive to him. All right? I must show him respect. All right? So, I have to come to him with nothing in my hand. I come to him, and this is within the cultural context of East Africa, come to him, and I shake a hand and put my other hand on my forearm. And I cannot even just say hello to him. I have to give a special honored greeting of Shikamo, which literally means I grab your feet in humility. You like that? No. Most pastors like that. And that actually what that means. A shikamo. I grab your feet in humility. And the response is marahaba. Yeah, you can do that, just but don't make a big fuss kind of thing. But that's basically what it means. And so you have to be shikamo. Very important. And you know what? I cannot look you in the eye. If I look you in the eye, that would show that I think we're equal. The hardest thing when I first went to Africa is that no one would look me in the eye. Now, I grew up out in the country of Kansas, all right? We accepted everyone for who you are, for the work that you did, and we accepted you the way you are. We look each other in the eye. It did not matter what background you were. It did not matter what race you were. It did not matter what anything. If you did the work, and if you were there, and you had good respect, hey, you're accepted. We look each other square in the eye, and we accepted each other for the way they were. But you know what? I couldn't get anyone to look at me in the eye. Because even though I was young, I had position. And no one would look me in the eye. And now here I am trying to be able to... I would look here, try to catch him in the eye. You know, But what they were doing is they were showing respect. I could not look in you. I'd have to look slightly. Not only that, but I've got my tract that I just printed out. I've got everything. I wanted to be able to show him. And I want to be able to tell him what I'm going to be doing now in his village. Let me just act something out. Let's just pretend that I have greeted him properly within the certain context of his particular tribe. I used the right language word in order to convey it. But I gave him now this tract or Bible or whatever. Now, what I just did was highly, highly offensive in most of Africa. Can you guess what I did? Good thought. Good thought. You're not there, but good thought. Yes. All right. Good. Good. Now, once again, thinking that, you know, looking down on him because I think you need that. Good thought, but you're not here. No. It's actually much more simplistic than that. You're thinking too, huh? You're right. Left hand. From most of Africa and portions of Central Asia, your left hand is dirty. Your left hand is always considered dirty. You never give or receive anything with your left hand. It's highly offensive. How many of you are left-handed? My wife is also left-handed. And she would sit on her left hand, you know. Many times, even gesturing sometimes with your left hand can be offensive in certain tribes. And some tribes, they would actually consider this as placing a curse on them if I gave them something with my left hand. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? A new missionary coming in. I mean, they've got all the Bible training. They've got the language. They got everything. But presenting the gospel in a way that won't be offensive. Oh, so many things. What's it like to be a missionary in Africa? Oh, there's a lot involved. It's not just going over and preaching. You can do that. But it's learning the culture, it's learning the language, and learning all that you can to be able to help to interact with that. So many things. There's the shaking of the hand. Let's do that snap again. Can you try that right there? Hey, there we go. All right. It's the shaking of the hand. It's the shikamo, not looking in the eye. And sometimes, even as you shake hands, it's also this. Africa, they hold hands. Two men or two women, it's a sign of close friendship. In our context, in our cultural eyes, we think, yeah, too close of friends. No! But that would be very offensive if one of my pastors would take me by the hand and say, Pastor, let's talk. And we would walk off to the side. I'd be like, hey, man, what's your problem? Huh? Highly offensive. That would be rejecting a close friendship. All right? Some of the funniest things you'll ever see. Honestly, I have this picture in my mind. There were two huge African men. They were sawmillers coming out of the jungle where they, where they cut with an axe. You know, that's what they used to use back years ago. They cut trees down with an axe. And that's what they still do, all that with all that manual labor. These guys were huge. Hand in hand, walking down the street. And I'm seeing, I'm like, what's wrong with this picture here? But you know what? Two close friends. All right. Understanding and being able to interpret that. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate you there. And you have to be able to do that. Also, the constant pressure of the adversary. You know, languages are difficult. So the most difficult thing I ever did in my life was learn a foreign language. And the Lord allowed me to hit complete fluency. I even got to the point where some of my highly educated people in our church would say, Pastor, leave the dictionary alone. You're going over our heads now. I'll never forget that Sunday when they told me that. That took a pressure off me. And then to be able to, you know, I remember, never forget, the next Sunday I got up. I didn't even look at the dictionary. I just got up with my notes and I just shared out of my heart. Oh, what a burden off my shoulders. It's a difficult thing to do, but it's learnable. Culture, Sometimes that's so difficult. Even the culture between tribes. Like I talked, we worked with the Turkana, the Sambuddha, the Maasai. Sometimes there's cultural differences between the two. We have to adjust some things on how we present things to be able to be careful we're not offensive to them. But it's learnable. But one thing that's very, very extremely difficult is the constant openness of the adversary, the devil, in many of these countries. I'll be honest with you. Africa is called the Dark Continent for a good reason. Satan has had his will and his way on that continent for a very, very long time. It has been dark to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, to the salt and the light gospel. I can tell you stories, and I won't, of being with witch doctors, confrontation, being in their homes, seeing the idols, but see God overcome in every single situation. Let me tell you, when the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, let me tell you, that's true. But it's another pressure that your missionaries constantly deal with. One of my sweet families in Africa, several years ago, they were struggling. Sweet family, several children, young at the time. But the resident witch doctor would sit on a little hill over their house, having fires and incantations, he would say, over their house. They told me, Brother Bowman, we just don't know what to do. Things happen in our house that we can't explain. All of a sudden, the radio would come on. There'd be an incredible wind that would come down. They were in kind of a cooler area of their part up in the mountains of Africa, and the wind would channel down their chimney, and it would blow out into their house. And everything electric would come on. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine rearing your children up in that type of environment? They had CD players going just below the audible level of Bible verses going in every room of their house. They would have special prayers of dedication regularly over each room in their house, over their children's beds. I'm going to tell you, they're not on the front lines. That's where we are when we go out soul winning here. We're on the front lines of evangelism here. Anytime you confront someone with the gospel, hey, you're on the front line. But you know what? Missionaries, many times, they're not on the front line. They had just been parachuted behind enemy lines. Behind enemy lines. And it's the pressures that are there. What's it like to be a missionary in Africa? Oh, my. I hope that you can understand the importance of the gospel. Giving it in a way that will be understood, in a way that won't be offensive. And there's a whole lot of stories and illustrations I'm leaving out, because this is a much longer of a college lecture I try to give. But I want to be a blessing to you. But for one purpose I want to do is help to educate you to pray for your missionaries, to be patient with your missionaries, to be understanding with your missionaries, and at the same time realize how much they need your prayers. Form regularly. Do you know the missionaries that you support?